we go. Tonight's learning is Le'iloi Nishmas Asher Zelig Ben Tzvi. Zev, who's with us, Zev's father, Neshama Shavan Aliyah, and thank you very much for sponsoring tonight's learning. So we are going to get back to our nightly learning, and we're going to shift gears a little bit. When we started, we kind of just jumped in. I very much liked the idea of focusing on working on our interactions. You know, again, so much of what's been on our mind has been our social life or our lack of social life, and working on the laws of Lashon Hara and all related speech-related things to me was very meaningful. So I want to continue that, and we're going to continue that through a very different medium, a rather modern or brand new book on Lashon Hara. It's this book over here by Rabbi Daniel Z. Feldman. It's called False Facts and True Rumors. I'm not sure if any of you have seen it. Rabbi Feldman is a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He is a Rebbe in Reitz, in Yeshiva University, and he wrote a book where he really takes a lot. You know, the Chafetz Chaim kind of had the monopoly on all of Lashon Hara related halachos, and there are, first of all, there are certain things where others disagreed with him, and it took years for some of that to be developed and written up. But also with our modern world, there's so many new questions that come up. Leaving reviews on websites, right? How does that relate to halacha? That's something which our world revolves around, really. You know, rating, putting ratings on companies, things that we share privately, not so privately, Facebook, etc. And many contemporary and modern questions have come up, and Rabbi Feldman, again, being this tremendous, tremendous scholar, and also has the ability, also does a brilliant job in pulling from so many different sources, has really brought many of the laws of Lashon Hara up to the 21st century speed. So it's a great, wonderful read. Certain sections are a little bit dense. We'll be jumping around a little bit, and we'll begin today with just some introductory passages. The next thing we're going to do is, well, I'll tell you what the next thing we're going to do is, we're going to study two things. One is False Facts and True Rumors. The second is Tzidkas HaTzadik, and I'll tell you about that when we get there. So let's jump in. We're going to begin with the way he develops a famous statement, which we saw already in the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, and that is a quote in the Gemara in Erechin, which says that Lashon Hara is uniquely damaging, in that it damages three different groups of people. One, the most obvious, is the person that we are speaking about. Two, less obvious, is the person who is speaking. And three, also less obvious, the person that is listening to the Lashon Hara. And he's going to develop this idea. We're going to just break this up, do this all slow. Again, we're just going to have short learning sessions. But today I just want to focus on the first one, the damage to the subject. He just mentioned two things in his introduction which struck me. I thought they were very interesting. Two ideas which are not, which he sourced in Jewish sources as well, but he also found fascinating backing for these ideas from other interesting sources as well. So in terms of the damage to the subject, obviously we know that a person is damaged when we speak negatively about them. But the way he frames it, I think, is illuminating and really, to me, just fleshed it out a little bit and gives us more pause when we say something negative about someone else. Two ideas that he quotes. One is from the law professor Robert Post, and this is from his book, The Social Foundations of Defamation Law, A Reputation and the Constitution. And he writes over there, he says that there really is, that there's something to say about a reputation being a form of property, that our reputation is something that we own. We don't normally think of it that way, but the truth is, in his words, that our reputation or the esteem of others is earned by the fruit of personal exertion, right? Every interaction, everything we do, say, all of our business dealings, all of our interactions, all of those exertions ultimately build up our reputation, which is something that we've worked on, something that we've developed, something that we've earned. And when someone speaks negatively about us, or we speak negatively about someone else, their reputation, what Dr. Post is asking us to conceptualize, is that a person's reputation is not this intangible thing, although it is in some ways intangible, but it's something in which we could place some level of monetary value on. It's something which is owned by them. A reputation is something which is a piece of property. It's, again, it's an intangible piece of property, but when I speak negatively about someone else, I am stealing from them, right? And those are words that we don't normally think about when we think about gossiping. We think, okay, I'm speaking negatively about the person. It's not so good. It may have some impact Forget the actual monetary impact. Let's say they don't own a business or they don't own a store, but the reputation is something which we are stealing from them when we speak negatively. And that means that even if it doesn't get shared beyond the people that we actually speak to, there still is something that I'm taking from them, that I'm stealing from them by speaking negatively. I was very struck by that statement, and I think it's just a bit of a different way of thinking about this. In addition, and here he's quoting from a book called Beyond Revenge, The Evolution of Forgiveness Instinct. He points out that and I'm going to quote over here, the concern for preserving one's reputation is a crucial motivator of behavior, ensuring that an individual act in a socially acceptable fashion so as to maintain his stature among others. Okay. In fact, from some perspectives, reputation is the single most effective tool towards this end, right? In other words, our reputation is something that, again, is intangible, but it's something that we're using constantly to gain whatever it is that we want to gain. We ask someone for a favor, or forget a favor. If I want to make, again, going back to sales, I want someone to use my business. I want someone to interact with me. I want someone to come to my home to fix something. All of those things, a part of that is the reputation which I have developed. And when someone tarnishes my reputation, then in essence, it is not, again, not just this, oh, they spoke negatively about me, but they're stealing something very tangible from me as well. And so with that, I'm just going to leave it at that. But again, Rabbi Feldman is trying to develop over here is the idea that when we are harming the one we're speaking about, it's not just this fluffy idea of reputation, which is, of course, something we could all relate to. And of course, if someone's speaking negatively about me and tarnishing my reputation, we would be incredibly upset if someone was doing that to us. But to also think about it as a form of stealing, that a reputation is something that a person has earned, a reputation is something that has currency, and when we speak negatively about someone, even if it doesn't go very far, we are in essence stealing from that person. That should give us some pause before gossiping, even if it's true, again, that's still included in Lashon Hara, about someone else. We'll continue developing this idea from the Gemara and Erechin, from the other perspectives, how it impacts the one who is speaking and the one who is listening. And again, Rabbi Feldman is going to kind of expand our perspective of this, and we'll come back to that, God willing, tomorrow night. Right now, I'd like to move on to the second thing that we're going to be doing on these nightly study sessions, and we're going to here be expanding your minds in a little bit of a different way. I was struggling over Pesach. I was thinking, what are we going to learn together in these short little snippets of time that we have? Going through many, many, many different things. And finally, I decided to be a little selfish. There's a sefer. There's a book that I would teach after davening in Ner Tamid, Mondays through Friday. And it's a book that I personally started learning maybe 2-3 years ago and has impacted my life in a very, very profound way. It's the writings of Rav Tzadok HaKohen, his first book called Tzidkas HaTzadik. It's a little esoteric. He is a Hasidic rabbi with a very interesting background. He became a Hasidic rabbi later in his life. He lived about 100 years ago, very interesting life story, and became a disciple of the Ishbitzer Rebbe. Ishbitzer is one of the most unique and almost most out-of-the-box type of Hasidus that is out there. And he draws upon many of these ideas. So he's drawing upon some of the most unique, I would say psychologically heavy and in many ways radical Hasidic thoughts, but he's also drawing upon a real significant scholarship of his own, of being a true Talmid Chacham scholar in the Lithuanian, Litvish, non-Hasidic world for many years. And it's a book that has really, really always inspired me, and it's a book that I missed. So I figured it's something I'm excited about. We'll learn it together if you all decide that this is crazy. And I'm not trying to make anyone Hasidish, don't worry. But we're just going to hopefully learn a little bit, expand our minds just a little bit. And so I thank you for participating and joining me as we go through this journey. And once again, as we said when we started, the learning tonight is Le'ilui Nishmas. I'm going to just get the name again. Usher Zelig Ben Tzvi, Zev's father, is Neshama Shev and Aliyah, from the learning that we're having tonight, as well as from the Nachas that I'm sure he has from his wonderful family. Okay, so we are going to pick up where we are in where we've been in Ner Tamid, which is the 222nd piece. I know that seems like I'm dropping you in the middle of a book, but the book actually works with very short chapters, and so we're actually going to break the chapters down into even smaller pieces. And amazingly, where this piece begins is actually will give you some insight as to why I like this sefer, this book, so much. Maybe just by way of introduction, the beginning of this piece speaks about inspiration. And I'll just share with you like a little conversation I once had with a teacher of mine, a teacher which I loved and adored and really made an impact on me. I spoke to him once about inspiration and, the inspiration coming, going, etc. And he's a real rational individual. And he basically laughed at me. He said, inspiration's, it comes and goes. It's nothing. I mean, it's completely, there's no substance to inspiration. It's something which you should just ignore. You know, don't look forward to the next inspiration because it just comes and goes. You have to live your life outside of inspiration. Inspiration is just some wild things going on in your brain. For whatever reason right now, you feel excited. It's basically nothing. Okay? That is a very Litvish, Musser type of thinking about inspiration. And one you'll hear in many circles. Rav Tzadok is one of the few, I think, that really tackle inspiration so often in his writings and speaks to the subjective personal experience in a way that I don't know of any others. Maybe Rav Kook speaks in a similar fashion. And he says like this. Okay, so he has a very, very different understanding of inspiration and one which I think is inspiring. And that was no pun intended. He says like this. Hashem Yisbarach korei la'adam b'chol yom. He says that that God calls out to each and every one of us on a daily basis. Shenemar, he quotes a verse in Mishle, Yan Karasi Vatima'enu, okay, that Hashem called out to us and we refrained from listening. Natisi Yadi, I waved my hands, Ve'ein Makshiv, but you did not pay attention. Okay, so again, God says, I called out to you, but you didn't listen. So Rav Tzadok says, clearly that means that God is calling out to us. What does that mean that God calls out to us? He says, Hakriya, what is the calling out of God? Hu hirhure halev habai me'atzman b'tshuka la'Hashem Yisbarach. He says, these are the stirrings of the heart which seemingly come on their own, which have within them a desire for God. Right? There are times in our life where, and sometimes more often than not, sometimes they happen at opportune times, but we feel a certain, something lifts us up. We feel a certain calling. If we listen closely, we feel inspired, right? We feel like something is pulling on us, sometimes intensely, sometimes lightly, but we feel elevated in some way. I would call it inspiration. A person feels spiritually inspired, or not even spiritually. A person just feels elevated in some way. What is that? What just happened? So he suggests, Vu al yidei kriyas Hashem Yisbarach lo. Where it's coming from is the fact that God is calling out to you. God is calling out to you. If you want to know, according to Rav Tzadok, where inspiration comes from, it means that God is tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey there, I want your attention. I want your attention. Isn't that beautiful? Right? In other words, to recognize and to think about that when a person feels inspired, according to Rav Tzadok, what that is not just this some chemical balance or imbalance in my mind that is all of a sudden making me feel a little lighter right now or a little more excited, or I heard some music and it triggered whatever it is. No, it is God tapping me on the shoulder. And the pasuk he quotes over here is a very important one, again, from Mishle, which says, Kamayim hapanim lapanim, kein leva adam la'adam. That the like a reflection in water, so too is the heart of one person to the other. And what that means is that what he's saying over here is that God is trying to get us to love him. How does he get us to love him? God wants our love. And so he, so to speak, wakes us, he shakes us, he shines his love to us. And in doing so, he hopes that we will shine our love to him. God is, so to speak, yearning for our love. Right? When was the last time you thought about inspiration in that fashion? Right? When we think about inspiration being that God is giving you a personal tap on the shoulder, and not just a tap on the shoulder saying, do tshuva, be bad. I love you. I want more attention. Wouldn't that be amazing? Like all of a sudden, if my phone just rang and said it's God and he said, I want more attention from you, that would be unreal. That would be unreal, right? So inspiration, as I said when I started, inspiration should be inspiring. In other words, if you take this approach, and it's a rather Hasidic approach. It could be, right? You cannot prove otherwise that this is the case. But to be inspired by our inspiration, to when a person feels a moment of inspiration, to think and stop and think for a second, that there's at least a possibility. There's at least one voice out there, at least according to Rav Tzadok, this very important, profound thinker, is telling you The way he understands is that God is tapping you personally on the shoulder right now and telling you he wants some attention from you. That is where inspiration comes from. That is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kore La'adam Mechol Yom. And what that means, and again, going back to the opening line, on a daily basis, God is calling out to us. Sometimes he has to shake us a little bit more. So, right, meaning he's saying there's a daily calling out, there's a daily beckoning that's taking place. You know, Rav Kook, and there's a lot of overlap between these two writers. Rav Kook speaks about, you know, tefillah being, he speaks about the fact that our soul is constantly talking to Hashem. And when we daven, it's kind of giving expression to the soul that is constantly speaking to Hashem, but it doesn't have the voice. And so when we daven, we're giving voice to that constant desire of our soul to connect to Hashem. So again, Hashem Yisbarach Kori La'adam Bechol Yom. There is a constant calling. God, through our soul, is beckoning us all the time. But when we feel inspired, what that means is that God is really shaking us a little bit more. He is giving us a little bit more attention, and he's asking us to please pay attention to him. That's how he begins this book. That maybe gives you some insight in terms of why I love this sefer, where he's going to move on, and he kind of has a stream of consciousness way of writing. It's a little bit hard to follow at times. What he's going to do as he continues this piece is segue from here into tefillah and explain the mindset of the different tefillos of Shacharis, Mincha, Mariv, and explain the mindset in a very profound way. Well, I guess we'll get there. We'll see what that looks like tomorrow. We'll start with Shacharis. We'll pick up tomorrow, God willing. We should probably continue saying our chapter of Tehillim. I want to remind everyone tomorrow night we are going to continue again with False Facts and True Rumors, a little bit of Tzidkas HaTzadik. And Tuesday night, though, we have a very, very special program with Irma Pretzfelder, we're going to have a Yom HaShoah program at 8 o'clock. She'll be sharing a short presentation. We'll have a little service together via Zoom. So thank you for joining us for the learning. We'll say it's an opportunity to daven together. So we'll continue doing what we were doing before Pesach. We'll say the 20th chapter of Tehillim, if you have your sitter handy. I'll give everyone a second. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Mevareh. Okay, and you can let me know your feedback on whether or not you're into Chassidus after all this. You'll let me know. Give it a few days. I got a thumbs up from Michael. Okay. So let's say the 20th chapter of Tehillim. God, for just in a very general sense, we are asking God for his divine providence watching over us during these very challenging times. The 20th chapter again can be found between Ashrei and Uval Etzion. I'm going to take everyone off of mute to be, I know I get a lot of chizuk hearing all of your voices, so I'll take everyone off of mute. Okay. Lam Natzeach Mizmar LeDavid. Yancha Adonai b'yam tzara, yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov, yishlach ezrecha mikaydesh, umitziyayin yisadeka, yizkar kol minchay secha, vaylascha yidash nesela, yitzen lecha chilvavecha, v'chol atzascha yimalei, niranina bishu asecha, v'shem Eloheinu nitgal, yimalei Adonai kol mishalei secha. Ata yadati ki ashia Adonai mishichai, yaneu mishmei kachai, b'gvurais yesha yeminai, heilev arechev yeilev asusim, Vanachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkir, hima karu v'nafalu, vanachnu kamnu v'nisaydad, Adonai Yeshia, hamelech yaneinu v'yam kareinu, achinu kol beis Yisrael, hanesinu batzar v'shivya, haimdim b'mayam uv'im b'yabasha, hamak merachim aleyem v'yaitziyem yitzar l'rvacha, u'meachel ayra mishim l'gula, hashta b'agalav izman,